let's get started. Let's stand just for the fun of it. See, isn't that fun? You don't have to stand. I know, I used to sing sitting down, and I realized I can't sing as well sitting down, because you're...
That's true.
Imagine that. People already knew that, right? Well, Lord, we just invite you, Lord, to flow through us, Lord. We pray that we're open to what you have in mind, and that we can participate in your purposes. That your love would flow, and as like Eli spoke last week, which was wonderful, to its relationship between you and one to one another. Thank you, Lord. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? King of glory, King of all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, King above all kings. Amazing grace, this unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Who shines the sun in all of its brilliance? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. That you laid down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all you've done for me. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ the King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ our King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name. Death cannot hold you, the veil too before you, the silence that boasts of the sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, thy King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Lord, you are the creator. Again, referring back to Eli, we bring order to chaos. We just sang that one part in there. There was, yes, the first song. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of all kings? Lord, you are the author of beauty. Nothing can compare. There's nothing worth more that ever comes close, nothing compared. You're our living hope. Your presence.
exists. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Let's go start again.
There's nothing worth more that ever comes close, and nothing compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Be overcome by your presence, Lord. Presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that ever comes close. Nothing compared. You're our living home. Your presence. I've tasted and seen the sweetness of lust. My heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Fill this place, fill the atmosphere. The glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let's become aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Quiet and then that still small voice. Speak to our hearts, Lord God.
Thank you. We receive.
Amazing. I had the words forgiveness. Forgiveness. God forgives all sin.
Hallelujah.
I was struck by that because recently I had a chance to interact with people who weren't really, didn't really know the Lord, and they were in verbal combat with one another, and you could see where they couldn't get out of it. They just couldn't get out of it. They didn't understand the concept of forgiveness. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that for all of us, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, you forgave us. And Lord, that may we embrace that. May we participate in letting the world know about your forgiveness, Lord. And also, it's like, again, like Eli said last week when he says we go by we are saved from, but I like he went further, he goes, what we're saved for. And I sense that as the world really needs right now for us to show them Jesus,
yeah.
Emmanuel, God revealed in us, yeah? Cool. Thanks, Joe, for that. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Setting sun, his love endures forever. By the grace of God, we carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever God is faithful.
faithful forever, God is strong. Forever, God is with us forever. Forever. Come out of sadness wherever you've been. Come broken hearted. Find your mercy, a sinner come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Ah, yes. Lay down your stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to see. You stood before my failure and carried my cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulder, my soul now to sing. What can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart. Thank you. I'll walk upon salvation. Your Spirit's alive in me. My life to declare your promise. My soul now to see. What can I say? What can I do? Offer this heart of love completely to you. What can I say? What can I do?
Let's start at the beginning. Just kidding. Relentless. Here's some definitions of relentless, what the word relentless. The continuous and severe physical or mental activity needed in order to achieve something. Steady, persistent, unremitting. Someone who is determined to do something and refuses to give up. I think relentless is a common, we understand the meaning, but it's hard to embrace or grasp that quality of being relentless when things get tough. Someone who is determined to do something and refuses to give up, even if what they are doing is unpleasant or difficult. Most of you know that I've, in my younger life, enjoyed running quite a bit. I still enjoy it. It's just that I can't run like I used to. But I ran a couple of marathons, and I remember the very first marathon. I was 28 years old, and I heard about what is called the wall, that marathon runners, and perhaps you have heard this too, that you you run, you can run 20 or more miles, and then at some point you hit the wall. And it's just short, unfortunately, of the finish line. And I remember hearing about that, but not really fully understanding it until I was running a marathon and I hit the wall. And it was at mile 23. I was like 3 miles from the finish line, and I couldn't go any farther. And I remember starting to just not really cramp up, but just tighten up, I think is really what I felt. And so I stopped and I quit and I went home. No. I stopped and I remember just getting down and just stretching, just doing, I don't know if I can do it anymore, but you know, just really trying to stretch things out and just getting up and not taking a long time, but just kind of stretching. And then I thought, I'm gonna keep going. And I did, and I completed. But I remember it was just a point where I had to stop, and yet I had to press through. And this last little definition, being relentless is a state of mind that can give you the strength to achieve, survive, or overcome, to be strong even when others are not. Even when you want, or especially when you want to give up. It means craving the end result so intensely that the work or effort becomes irrelevant. And I believe that the ability to be relentless is in all of us. Amen? Don't sound convinced. Yeah.
Amen.
I'm not asking you to run a marathon physically, but every one of us, is there any one of us that has not hit the wall? Hit a wall? Anyone that has not? Every one of us faces things that just seem impenetrable, I can't go any farther. James 5. Let's look to the scripture this morning, if I can press through this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. In fact, the imperative is he must pray. He must pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Must sing praise. Must sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. On my notes, I have an arrow pointing right at this last part of verse 16. The effective, fervent, relentless, I'm adding that word, prayer of a righteous man avails much. And the tendency in that scripture that is to focus on the righteous word, the righteous man. But the emphasis in that verse is on the words I've highlighted, the effective, fervent prayer. In fact, of a man, of a righteous man, avails much. Elijah, the scripture goes on to say, was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, relentlessly, that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, relentlessly, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. That section, those two verses regarding Elijah, is really the Reader's Digest version, if you will, the RDV, of 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm not going to read you the whole chapter. It's a long chapter. It's the chapter where Elijah, well, first of all, he's told to tell, it's the end of the famine, and it's going to rain. Tell the king, King Ahab, it's going to rain. And then, meanwhile, he goes up and has the confrontation with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And at the end of that confrontation, of course, fire falls, they get consumed and everything, and then Ahab, I'll just read the last few verses of that chapter. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went back up to the top of Carmel. And then he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go now, look toward the sea." And so he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And by the way, when you're on Mount Carmel, or Hebrew would be Caramel, it's less than 10 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. And even though Mount Carmel is not like Mary's Peak, it's more like Fitton Green. It's only a few hundred feet, 500 feet maybe in elevation, but it's up there, and you can see the Mediterranean Sea. So that's what they're talking about here. And then it came to pass, no, he said, I skipped an important part. He said, "There is nothing." And then seven times Elijah said, "Go again." Seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "Well, there is a cloud, but it's as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." And so Elijah, that was TR, that was the Amazon gift of faith. That's all Elijah needed to see, apparently. He says, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black and the clouds and the wind, and there was a heavy rain. And Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loin and ran ahead of Ahab all the way to the entrance of Jezreel, which is 20-some miles, by the way. I thought about that. I don't know if I can just picture when I think about that. I really don't think about the fact that Elijah, when it says he bowed down, you know, what did that look like? You know, is he down on his knees, and then he just kind of put his head, you know, this way? Some have said it's more like he's down this way and put his head, I can't even do it, between his knees. And likened it unto the position of a woman giving birth, travailing, if you will. And just the relentless prayer of Elijah, the scripture says that he prayed seven times. I'm convinced that it wasn't that seven was the magic number necessarily. It was just the amount of times that Elijah prayed before he saw the answer, but he would not have been done until the answer came. And realizing that, you know, first of all, Elijah is not, again, praying, you know, hoping that something, that the end will finally come to this drought. No, he's acting upon a promise. God's the one that told him to tell Ahab, "Go tell him it's going to rain." And yet Elijah is having to pray relentlessly, fervently, earnestly, travailing for this prayer to be answered. And I think, I'm convinced there is something in that wherewith, even when we have a promise, even when we're praying, the best prayers in the world are to pray God's promises, yes? We're praying what God has already said. But even so, just because we pray and they're not answered doesn't mean that God is not either hearing or going to answer. There is something about praying and connecting with God and believing that He will do what we answer, but in His time. Prayer is, I would think by now I would have this prayer thing figured out. I'm serious. After as many years as I have not just been praying, but just teaching on prayer, and I still marvel at the mystery of this thing we call prayer. And how that it's a tool, a means that God has given for us to access heaven. It's like I said earlier, it's how we access, how we connect with. It's like a stepping in to a different realm without, you know, that to be able to talk to the God of the universe. I love the verse that out of Isaiah 65 that says this. I just think that this is a peek into the solving the mystery of prayer, if you will. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. That's the NIV, the New Living Translation. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. You know, prayer is not us trying to convince God of something or trying to get Him to do something that He doesn't want to do. Like, okay, the guy is just relentless, so... Yeah. You know, it's not trying to get God something He doesn't want to do. It's really more of accessing. Prayer accesses what God already wants to do, which is why we pray, God, Your will be done, not my will. Lord, Your will. And so it's trusting God. I remember years ago, I just happened to be doing a message on Psalm 23 that Sunday, and I know some of you have heard this story before, maybe even more times, but I, on my way in those days, would walk. It was just hard to walk past McDonald's. I had to walk through McDonald's. And this one particular morning that I'm getting ready to preach on Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I'm coming up to the door. I come in from the north entrance there. I'm coming to the door and walking in, unbeknownst to me, as they had seen me come in, I come up to order and they handed me my mocha before I even ordered. That's the reputation I had in those days. And they knew how I wanted that mocha prepared. But I was so like, whoa, you know, that's, and yet, I just think that that's a great example of this verse. And yet, you know, was that really that amazing? No, they recognize, you go to different places, you frequent places, people recognize. What would have been amazing is if they would have delivered it to my office without me ordering it. Yes? Like, that would have been amazing. But that's what prayer does. It takes us into the realm where we connect with God and gain access to what God already wants. And so if that's the, and sometimes what God wants is different than what we want. Yes? Well, the scripture says, you know, we have not because we ask not, But then it goes on to say, that, and even then, you ask amiss sometimes. And so prayer can be more like, Lord, I have this on my heart. What's on your heart regarding this prayer? And so prayer, that's the great place to start, is where, Lord, this is what I believe you want me to be praying about, or what I need to be praying for. But let's get on the same, help me to get on the same page so that I'm praying what you want about this. And then especially when you know, okay, we've got that figured out, then now is where the relentless part comes. Because I am relentless to a fault when it comes to running or biking or pursuing the things that, I mean, I can hit the wall and I can just, I'm going to press right through it. There's no wall that, you know, I mean, I, to a fault. But I want to make sure I say this correctly, because I have a confession to make. My fervor for those things physically way exceed my fervor for pressing through the wall in prayer. And my hope is that, and I feel like in some ways Karen and I are pressing through. There's something that just in the last couple of weeks that, how much do I want to share? I can't move on, because there are some prayers you pray, and after years of praying, you just, it's not just even hitting a wall, it's, Lord, it just, apparently, that's a prayer that's not going to be answered. Or apparently, I mean, and you begin to make these wrong conclusions, because you understand, and so you move on. And pressing through here for a moment, because this is an exciting thing. God has renewed our faith. Amped it right up. Revved it right up is the word I was looking for. And put within us a relentlessness that we're going to pray and pray and not give up. And it's like God is saying, this is something that you This is something that you needed to have not, in other words, you've allowed a wall to stop and not press through. And so there's no condemnation, but there is a sense of urgency today to pick up where we left off, to pick up on that, at that wall, and press through. And there is renewed hope. There is renewed fervor. There is renewed faith. There is that strengthened faith, believing that, and I can tell you it's going to take more than seven times, because we've already prayed more than seven times, and my guess is it could take more than 70 times, but you know what? We're going to pray all those 70 times, and we're going to pray and pray and pray, believing that God will bring the answer in his way, in his time, at just the right time. Juliana.
In the the challenges sometimes is to lift our prayer to God.
To what?
To lift our prayer to the Lord and then let go.
No, lift.
And let go.
Yes. Yes, let go, but not step. Okay, Lord, just drop this. Deliver this to your doorstep, Lord. And so now we're getting on. Still, let go, but continue.
Yes, and trusting. He knows what's best for us. And sometimes I think of things I had prayed to God, and I'm so happy He didn't give to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the last verse, speaking of knocking. This is out of Luke chapter 11.
But you stay at the table.
What is the table?
Good. No, that's exactly right.
You don't leave.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. You know, it's interesting, before I read this verse, it's interesting how much Jesus, not just that He prayed, well, it's interesting that Jesus, being Jesus, had to pray. But it wasn't just that He's modeling, He needed to pray. And He was modeling and giving us a picture of what persistent prayer, fervent prayer, praying relentlessly. And so He's telling His disciples, so it is your prayers. So it is with your prayers. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll discover. Knock on heaven's door and it will one day open for you. And then this is the Passion Translation, but this is exactly what it's, the idea in the Greek is that when you ask, you're asking not just once, but you're asking and you keep on asking. You seek and you keep on seeking. You knock and you keep on knocking. Remember the parable of the persistent widow that Jesus told? That judge didn't give her justice because she deserved it, but because she kept asking and asking. She wore him out with her petition for prayer. Or of a request. Every persistent person will receive what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he needs. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. I like that. Will one day find an open door. So Lord, I pray this morning that you would give us fresh revelation about this thing we called prayer. And I pray, Lord, that with that would come a fervor, an earnestness, a relentless attitude, heart, toward connecting with you and waiting for you and depending upon you and looking to you for the things that you put on our heart to pray about, that we would learn to pray through, that we would learn to pray and keep on praying, that we would learn to stay at the table, that we would learn to trust you, even when we're disappointed, even when it feels like you're silent, even when it seems like the opposite, things get worse. Lord, help us to never doubt how much your love for us is, and never doubt about your ability to redeem, and never doubt
about your timing and never doubt about your faithfulness. Lord, help us to wait for you. In Jesus' name.
Can I share something I mentioned to Barb and when you were talking about the runner's wall? Uh-huh. And it was about childbirth, and she's like, yeah, you know, women might get that, and I appreciated that you brought up the runner's wall. But then I will share it, because the scripture that you mentioned in Isaiah 65, it shall also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're still speaking, I will hear. I will bring this up, because the first time I ever heard of the runner's wall was a couple years ago when I attended a birth. I was there for a couple days. She was laboring in a birthing center, and she was like, the midwife was like, you know, this baby's not coming. You've had a couple C-sections before. I think it might be time that we transfer to the hospital. And the midwife left the room to give us some time to think about it. I was like her doula. And then she's in the water with her husband, and she stands up and she said, you know, I have a friend who's a runner. And then she proceeded to tell me about the runner's wall. Uh-huh. And she said, right before the finish line, she experiences what you described. And she said, that is where I am right now. And she stood up and she started, she said, I'm running a marathon. And that baby was born minutes later after a couple of days of laboring. And right before that scripture that you shared, verse 23, right before verse 24, says, they will not labor in vain or bear children for disaster, for they are descendants of those blessed by the Lord and their offspring with them. And that the thing I mentioned to her was the runner's wall for a woman in labor is called transition. It's the point before that baby comes where you're like, I give up. Mentally, emotionally, in every way, physically, you're like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And you give up for a moment, but then the joy set before you, you know, nature kicks in. And I want to say about prayer. Of course, asking and keep on asking, it's not just repeating the same words over again. It's when God gives you a vision or a burden on your heart, it's to pull, of course, his will to be accomplished. But prayer is God drawing us into relationship with him. When he gives us a vision, instead of saying, oh yeah, you want my brother to get saved, so God, save my brother, day after day, save my brother. But pressing in is more listening to God. And if Jesus spent so much time listening or with the Father, I wonder how much time of Jesus's prayer time alone with Father was listening, because he didn't speak of his own volition, on his own authority, or of his own accord. He only said what he heard from the Father. He only did what he saw the Father doing. So if that's true, I imagine that much of his prayer time was listening and seeing and being still before the Father and receiving that. And then participating and engaging with what the Father was doing, living it out. And those were the prayers he prayed and the things that he did. So,
good.
Listening.
Yeah, good word. That's exactly right. And I'm sure Joe doesn't mind me mentioning this, but Joe called me yesterday to share about not just one, not just two, not just three, but four different prayers answered just almost simultaneously. But ask him about it. Ask him about it, because it's pretty exciting about what the result of relentless praying achieves, potentially. Yes, stand with me. Pretty exciting stuff, Joe. I'm gonna speak a blessing, and then I'm gonna read a final verse. So, may God renew your strength. May God renew your strength with a strength of spirit to be relentless, to pray and to not give up, to persevere in your waiting, in your transition, even. And then Psalm 88:13 says this, Lord, you know my prayer before I even whisper it. At each and every sunrise, you will continue to hear my cry until you answer. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So thanks for the sweet treats in the back. I saw them. I forgot I was going to do the benediction from the back this morning, so I could get there quick, but